whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Alex Tuck fights for that puck. Good follow-up. They score! What a great follow-up. J.J. Paterka. Here's a turnover, and Alex Tuck's got a look. Scores! Here's the one-timer. Scores! Tage Thompson unleashes the TNT, and a power play goal makes it 3-2 Buffalo. Sabres need a goal from number 89, near circle. Tuck walks in, fakes, Deke scores! Alex Tuck tucks it in the shootout. J.J. takes the puck from center, slowly across the line. One hand on the stick now, two as he works his way in. Scores! Chychrun and Luukkonen. Mano a mano here in the shootout. If he can stop this one, Sabres will get the point. Chychrun walks in. Luukkonen stays with him. Yes, he did. Save by Luukkonen. Sabres get the 2 points.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, the Sabres won.
Sounds like a fun game.
Shootout style. Yeah. Hey, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Tuesday. Snow globe out there.
Yes.
The forecast for the day, the word of the day is, I was listening on WBEN, blustery. It's going to be blustery.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, like, not just a breeze, but 30-mile-an-hour gusts, maybe.
Is blustery when I'm looking at the street light that's across the window for us and, like, I don't know if it's happening right now, but you can kind of see like the snow's going up towards the light.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an optical illusion.
No, I don't think that's quite all the way to blustery yet. Let's get Gene Steratore here, Gene. Gene, have we met the conditions for blustery?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be cold. I think the weather for the next 3 days is the exact same. Some snow's going to fall. It's going to get cold. It is cold.
It's very cold in the entire country.
Like, yes.
Winter blast. My mom, who lives in Charlotte, I think said that it's going to be in the teens there this week in North Carolina.
Right.
So, I mean, here, I layered up, took 4 layers to take the dog for a walk yesterday. It was still freezing.
Well, for Sunday, we're looking at 20s.
20s?
20s.
All right. As long as there isn't like some weather event.
It does not appear that'll be the case. It does not appear that, yeah, mild winds is the forecast right now. Could there be some snow? Sure, but nothing too bad. So there you go.
All right, good, fine.
We are closer and closer. The Sabres won. If you want to give us a call on it and mention anything about the Sabres, you can. And sometimes I feel like we are supposed to. Then again, you know, they win a game.
Uh-huh. On an island, kind of.
Sure.
It's an island win.
Are there takes to be made? The one thing that jumped out at me that was kind of, I mean, I'm not trying to poke fun early, but Lindy Ruff said that the losing streak made them better, and that now, you know, they might have lost that game in the past, and that it's good that they're within striking distance.
Striking distance, though.
Yes.
I do believe they are still in last place in the Eastern Conference.
Striking distance. So,
okay.
It's tough to take things like that seriously. They have a half a season left.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
They're at the midpoint. 41 games. They have 35 points.
It's a 70-point pace. Now, they'll probably finish with more than that, right? Because they mixed in a 13-game losing streak.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll have another one of those.
Probably not.
So I would bet they finish with, like, 77 points or something like that.
Now the math gets simpler, though. You want to be a 90-point team, and you had a 70-point pace in the first season. Now you have to be 110.
Yeah.
It has to get to 90, which I don't even know if that probably wouldn't do it.
Right.
It would be close.
Not exactly it would be striking distance.
Yeah, I'm not
so anyway,
it.
We'll talk to Lindy tomorrow. They moved him to Wednesday. So today we're, you know, fairly open. We'll talk with Paul at 7:30. Howard picks the Bills. He's coming in at 8. We'll talk with him about the playoff matchup. And then Benjamin Albright out in Denver at 9:30. Plenty of football coverage throughout the week to kind of get us ready for this game. And, yeah, excited for it. Counting down the days. Anybody else hit it with stress yet, or are you still fine? No one's feeling it yet.
I think I am less stressed as... I think I'm going the other way. I think I'm getting less stressed. They're an 8.5-point favorite. They're not losing the season like this, right?
I mean, that's all the more reason why it is stressful.
Uh-huh.
If they did.
I guess it's just I cannot envision... I know what the formula is. I can't envision them losing this game on Sunday. Like, it's like how it happens. You know, Bo Nix, okay, yes, he's looked pretty good. And then, like, okay, well, what has their offense done when they've gone against really good defenses? And it's, ooh, not so great. Like, not terrible, but okay, like, they'll score 20. Maybe they'll get to 17 or 20 points. And okay, that defense is really good, but Josh Allen's not getting to 20 points. Josh Allen's not getting above that.
I bet he is. I mean, Josh, when the Bills go up against a good defense, they tend to do pretty well. The thing I would maybe immediately balk at or challenge is, the Bills would be classified as having a good defense? I'm not so sure. I know DVOA we went over yesterday, they finished eighth. I'm just not so sure. I feel like it's the least good defense they've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe last year, of course, with injuries pretty bad. But I don't know what to tell you.
I want to bet they're a good defense when they're going up against a mid to below average offense with a rookie quarterback. Even if that rookie quarterback has looked very good this year. I want to believe they are in danger of getting exposed when they go up against, this is what they've been in the playoffs, right? It's, you know, Mahomes. Mahomes has his best numbers in the playoffs against the Bills. Other teams have proven, even if it's for a quarter at a time or a half at a time or maybe for a full game, that they can slow down Mahomes. The Bills have never done that. They've never done that, and they didn't do it to Burrow. So when they get a matchup against a top quarterback and a top offense, like now I'm thinking, okay, you could get ragdolled. But when they're playing a team like this, that really it's one consistent weapon, it's one rookie quarterback that looks pretty good, and a run game that doesn't really exist, like I think the Bills' defense should be good enough to look good there in this spot.
Well, Bo Nix, his rookie season as compared to Josh Allen's season, this is kind of fun. Mike Show went through this yesterday. Have you seen like the side-by-side
comparison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allen 37-31 passing, Nix 37-75.
Uh-huh.
Touchdowns, Allen 28, Bo Nix 29. It's just passing.
Passing.
Just passing. I mean, Allen, of course, does a lot more. But in terms of rookie seasons, 3,700 yards, 29 touchdowns as a rookie.
It's pretty good.
To make the playoffs. Yeah, it is pretty good. And he's had some real nice games, you know, 307 yards and 4 touchdowns. 321 and 4 touchdowns. That one didn't count. That's against the Chiefs last week. But, you know, he started off 4 picks, no touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's 29-8. Like, that is good stuff. Protecting the ball, all that.
And he's doing it with, you know, this is an MVP debate, right? Like, who's doing it with less? Bo Nix is not in the MVP race. But he's got one great weapon, and then it's kind of like, I don't know that these guys are bad players. Like, Marvin Mims serves a purpose on that team. And even Troy Franklin's had a couple catches along the way this year. But it's kind of just Sutton and then...
Team speed. It's Sutton and speed. Yeah, that's what they are. Sutton and speed.
But a pretty inconsistent group, I would say. Yep. Maybe that plays in hand with a speed group.
Yeah.
You're not going to get, you know, possession Shakir guys like that if you're just putting a bunch of 4 or 3 guys around them.
Meanwhile, the conversation about Joe Brady is about to get started. He may be interviewing with both the Saints and the Jets. They've requested for his interview.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, I mean, I don't know how often people turn those down, like Ben Johnson does.
Like an interview at the start. Well, Ben Johnson even interviewed, right? Like, wasn't he on the plane to Washington when he decided, yeah, actually, I'm not going to do this?
I thought it was on the way back. He said he took his name out of the running.
On his way back from the interview?
I thought so.
Not on his way to take the job?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember.
Okay.
But
he still interviewed.
I think so. We'll double check.
So, like,
that.
I would probably expect that Brady would interview with whoever's going to request him.
Oh, for sure.
At least interview.
Yes. Yes, I would think so.
If the Jets offered him the job, I'm not sure he would necessarily take it. I guess he could. It's a head coaching job in the league. In to my eyes, it's only two right now, and probably more are coming. Maybe not. Depends what a team's looking for. And if you're looking for the young, innovating offensive coordinator, he's got to be below Ben Johnson. But that's maybe it. If you're looking for that type of guy, he's maybe a really good consolation prize. It's only two. If it gets to be like four or five teams want him or want to talk to him, then my intent is really going to go to like, okay, this is probably it. This is his one playoff run, or I guess his last playoff run as the Bills play caller. If it's just these two and it's the Saints and the Jets, like those are probably the two least appealing jobs.
Maybe.
Like I would hold out hope if these are the only two teams want to talk to him that he's going to stick around.
One thing about the NFL coaching cycles, carousel, all this, the offensive coordinators that got fired this year, and I don't know if Brady thinks about it this way, but Stephen Ruiz pointed out that there are only two offensive play calling
offensive play callers?
Yes. Play calling offensive coordinators. Only two missed the playoffs and did not get fired.
Wow.
Yeah. If you're a play caller and you miss the playoffs, you're fired. Except for two guys, Drew Petzing and Zach Robinson.
That's Arizona and
Atlanta.
And that was his first year.
Yep. That's it.
Well, yeah.
Everybody else got fired.
Well, wasn't there a stat? I'm looking right now. Yeah. Drew, wow, this is crazy. Drew Petzing, who half of the people are asking, who's Drew Petzing? Rochester native, I think. He is now the longest tenured offensive coordinator in the NFL. It's not a head coach. Like Shanahan counts on here, like 2017, but he's also the head coach.
Yeah.
Like offensive coordinator, longest tenured in the league is Drew Petzing. And he was hired on February 19th, 2013.
Okay. That's.
But wait, that
can't be right.
That can't be right. Yeah, hold on. You're right. That's not right. 2022.
Okay.
2022. Yeah. Mike Kafka.
Gotcha.
But still, one more year. It's been 2 years, and the whole league has changed out their offensive coordinators.
It's a volatile business. And for Brady to get a head coaching gig, it could happen this year. He could decide, this is the right fit for me. This one isn't the right fit. You know, he might wait. Last year's name of the week was Bobby Slowick, and he didn't take a job, and now he's getting a job offer with the Jets, or a job interview, I should say, with the Jets also. The Jets are talking to everyone on Earth as a part of this. They have 12 candidates. The fact they're talking to Ron Rivera and
Rex,
yeah.
Arthur Smith maybe was another one I saw yesterday.
So the Jets are talking to everyone, and Brady will be in the mix there. You know, I don't know if Bills fans, how that'll happen, how we'll take it if he does leave. I guess it depends on the circumstances. If he puts together a great offensive performance and they lose to the Ravens because the Bills can't make a stop, you're going to feel like you're spinning your tires. Where here it happened again. We had a great offense in place and we're have to start all over again, start from square one because the coordinator's going to leave. I mean, I know the quarterback obviously is going to stay, but we'll see. We'll see about that. One thing I wonder about Brady and his job interviews is when he goes to these places and talks about what he's done here in Buffalo, how much of it would he talk about matching? Because there's a couple things he, of course, can't bring with him. Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are we going to do with quarterback? Well, here's what I would do. He might want to talk about drafting a guy. Might want to talk about, I don't know, somebody on the trade market he thinks is available.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting from scratch. You've got to find your quarterback. And then the other thing that I think would be interesting to, you know, fly on the wall would be, hey, we noticed you did it a certain way with the Bills. You know, you moved on from a high-profile receiver and got buy-in and had some success. We have Garrett Wilson here.
Yeah.
What would you want to do about that? Or if it's the Saints, we have Chris Olave here. What would you want to do about that? If it's the Bears that come calling, you know, we have stud receivers. Is it something that you did because it felt like the right thing at the right time? Or is this something that you would come here and think, we should probably trade Garrett Wilson? You know, I find the latter to be difficult to believe.
I find it hard to believe.
But that'd be a conversation I want to listen to.
I'd want to ask him.
Yeah.
I'd want to ask him about that. I'd want to ask him even beyond that. Like, you know, I don't know if an owner would be this in the weeds on it. I feel like they probably should be, which would be, okay, yeah, we've got Garrett Wilson, and you took over as the play caller, and then Stephon Diggs instantly became one of the least efficient receivers in football. How'd that happen? Why did your elite number one receiver go from having an incredible first half of the year to, ooh, nothing is working here?
Yeah.
He worst yards per target in football over the second half. Like, I'd want, and maybe there's a good explanation for that. I'd want to ask him, though, like, why did your number one receiver go to nothing when you took over? And again, there might be a good explanation because, you know, this is ancient history now because he's got a sample size here with the Bills. But when he was in Carolina, he fed the ball to DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, his top two receivers, especially DJ Moore. Like, fed them. So, and in college, too. Like, he had Jefferson and Chase. Like, yeah. This guy's not unfamiliar with the idea of having a top elite number one receiver. He just doesn't have one right now. And he's done a very good job without having one.
A very good job, which I think is a pretty good, you know, feather in his cap.
Yeah, so like,
he does have the elite quarterback, of course, which is going to help any coordinator.
Yeah, so but, like, for me, I think he would have a very good explanation, like what I'm going to do with like a Garrett Wilson or a Chris Olave.
Yeah, he's really surrounded Allen in. It's funny because the MVP conversation is endlessly about how Allen doesn't have that much to work with, and he's doing it with a bunch of no names. Even though, you know, these guys have names. James Cook probably should have made the Pro Bowl, and the
Cooper is a name
sure.
in the league.
Cooper's a name, and Coleman's had a good rookie season.
Shakir,
and the tight ends are fine.
Turned into a name.
Yeah, like what Brady has done has been fully fortify the surrounding pieces to Allen with much more balance, which is something, you know, you could still do with great players at the top. It's just the Bills had struggled to do this for a long time, and to me, that's the mark of Joe Brady. When you talk about the depth of receiving weapons, the Bills haven't had this depth since, you know, Gabe Davis was their fourth receiver.
The Sanders year.
Yeah.
Where they had Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, they kind of wandered the desert for a couple seasons and found their way back to this. And one of the ways they found their way here was with multiple tight ends and a lot of backs. Like, really, the backs are the story.
The backs more than the tight ends,
the backs are
right?
Such a story on this offense, from James Cook to Ty Johnson and Ray Davis to a lesser extent, but still a nice rookie season for him. But James Cook and Ty Johnson, are they going to win the Super Bowl because those two are so useful and put to use in the right way? Is that it's not often a thing you'll do. If you're talking about a running back is going to be the reason you win a game, you're going to point to Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley, right?
Mm-hmm.
The conversations about why they'll win because of a running back is often about guys that are going to carry the ball 20 times. Not about, oh no, these two guys are going to catch 7 passes and also rip off a couple of explosives, and that's how they beat you. Because that feels like it's how the Bills got through December so effectively, was the backs were a big, big part of it.
Yeah, that's right. And in the past game, would this have been a surprise if I had told you the season's going to go by and the tight ends are going to catch a combined 66 passes and the running backs are going to catch 67?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's something.
The three top running backs and the two top tight ends. Actually, really, if you want, I can count Quentin Morris and then the tight ends go up by one.
Yeah, so it's tied. Like, or no, it's
they'd have one more.
68,
then,
67.
The tight ends. Yeah, but Kincaid and Knox combining for 66 catches, and your running backs outpacing that in yardage. It looks like they'll outpace that too, without adding it up yet. So, and just really, it's looked more impressive, hasn't it?
Yeah,
like the tight end, it's looked like a struggle. I'm just adding up catches there. I'm not accounting for
targets.
All the missed targets to Kincaid and Knox, a little bit less so on that front, but still a little bit. And you know, Ty Johnson, 18 of 25 targets for 284 yards. Like, okay, that's a pretty good, you know, addition for a third down running back that the Bills really haven't used a lot of in the past. Cook, same thing. Like, in his role in the past game, he didn't have the drop problems he did last year. He had one bad drop early in the year. I think that was it. So, like, the running backs have been way more impressive to me than the tight ends in this pass offense.
803-0550. Our phone number, if you want to chat anything, Bills and Broncos, Sunday, 1 o'clock. I'm already starting to plan my Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, Saturday night, I don't know. We would all be shocked if it doesn't come out Chargers-Ravens, right, as the two teams that advance. I'd be shocked if Houston won that game. And I would be shocked if Pittsburgh did.
What feels more likely?
Houston.
Houston winning?
Houston feels more likely.
So they look so bad.
For Pittsburgh to beat the Ravens, two things have to happen. One, Pittsburgh has to find their game, which they have not had in weeks.
Yep.
And Baltimore would have to lay one of the biggest eggs of the year. And it's not just, well, they're scrappy if you're Pittsburgh. No. Baltimore would have to really fall apart. Now, they might not have Zay Flowers. It looks like they won't have Zay Flowers, which is big. But come on. The Ravens beat them.
I mean, I get it, and I want to trust like what's on paper and what the last meeting looked like. But at the same time, Pittsburgh's beat them 8 of 10.
8 of 10 doesn't matter.
Well, that's the they know they have a scheme. They have a personnel.
They had a
that
scheme.
Works better against Lamar Jackson than any other team.
They had a scheme. They don't have a scheme anymore.
They don't?
Nope.
Why not? Why? Because it happened earlier in the year.
Because if you go back and watch that game, why did Pittsburgh beat Baltimore earlier in the year? The Ravens dropped 3 touchdowns in that game. In the end zone, dropped balls.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a scheme anymore. They used to have a scheme. And the Ravens have since evolved and changed. And whether that's Derrick Henry or Lamar having a 41 touchdown, 4 interception season, he's healthy. He's probably better than ever. I think that 8 out of 10 would be talking about like, well, the Patriots have won, 20 out of 30 against this team. That's a little bit far. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just what happened 3 years ago does not matter to me. The Ravens are significantly better than the Steelers. The Steelers have lost 4 in a row, multiple games by double digits. No, I would be shocked. It would. They're the biggest favorite on the board.
They are.
You can't tell me the Bills, there's no way they're losing, and then tell me that the bigger favorite, you never know.
Well, I'm gonna be betting the Steelers spread in that game. I'm not gonna pick them to win the game, but I think Lamar in that earlier game in the year, 16 of 33, 207, a touchdown and a pick. Like I'm TJ Watt, and I think there is something for how they play Lamar specifically. And sure, Henry is a difference, but I'm not thinking that the quarterback is going to unlock something against the Steelers when he's only done it one time, basically.
Which was 2 weeks ago.
Yes, that's true. It was the most recent meeting.
207, 3 touchdowns and a pick, a quarterback rating of 115.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 803-0550. That said, if the Steelers do win, I mean, we'll be rooting for the Steelers.
It's going to feel tough, though.
It is going to be tough.
I'm definitely doing it.
To watch them go to Kansas City and lose by 30?
Well, because part of... Like I'll hope they win, but I will laugh all the way to the bank when Tomlin loses another playoff game.
Yeah,
and it'll be 6 in a row, I believe. I think it'll be 6 playoff losses in a row if he loses. And I think Steeler fans maybe are starting to.
I listened to Pittsburgh radio for a long time yesterday. I listened to Andrew.
Really?
Yeah. I listened to them
wow.
talk about basically how they are in purgatory.
I was gonna say I'm only judging based on Andrew's Twitter, but
yep,
that's happening there.
Oh yeah. Oh for sure. Yeah, it's purgatory.
It should be.
The show they had yesterday was people calling in and mourning the end of the Steelers season before the game
wow.
happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Like,
all right, never mind. I'm not taking the Steelers.
This is going nowhere. They don't want them to win. I don't want them to get a false positive by beating a team that they sometimes have good matchups against. Yeah, it was a lot of
wow.
we're stuck here forever because we're stuck with Tomlin. That was it. That was a lot of that conversation yesterday.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Some football today, some hockey on the way as well, all coming up. We'll check in Denver with Benjamin Albright coming up at 9:30. Meanwhile, in Denver, they're chanting. They chanted at the game, "We want Buffalo." I don't know if you caught that. The stadium in Denver, "We want Buffalo." Good for them. What are we supposed to say? Like, they're making the playoffs for the first time in a decade. They're excited. But we can put that on the bulletin board anyway. Why not?
Lucky they're not playing the Bengals. Bengals will be offended by that.
That's right. How dare you plan ahead.
Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number. You can give us a call if you'd like here on WGR.
Chychrun and Luukkonen. Mano a mano here in the shootout. Luukkonen, if he can stop this one, Sabres will get the point. Chychrun walks in. Luukkonen stays with him. Yes, he did. Save by Luukkonen. Sabres get the 2 points.
One of the first moments of the game. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. The Luukkonen save locks it up. The Alex Tuck goal in the shootout was nasty. Like a gasp-worthy highlight from Alex Tuck. So, Sabres win in the shootout 4-3 over the Caps.
there really doesn't need to be much of a balance because, you know, my focus is strictly on trying to win the Super Bowl here. You know, us trying to find a way to win this game this week. And, you know, the reality of it is some of the interviews, if interviews happen, would be next week. So really nothing for me to even think about right now and just kind of focus on Denver. And, you know, yeah, do I aspire to be a head coach? Yeah, I would love to, given the right opportunity. And, you know, I'm honored to even, you know, the name would be thrown out there. But right now, just my focus is finding a way to win a football game this week.
Joe Brady, Bills offensive coordinator, on the idea of getting a head coaching gig. Remember, the Bills tried to change the calendar. They made their rule suggestion. Hey, why don't we just move all the interviews a little later in the game here until the week before the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And the league did not accept that. The league did not think that was worth it. They're just going to, you know, we're going to go ahead and hire our coaches. These teams that are out of it, sorry, have fun in the playoffs. We'd like to talk to your guy. So Brady says if there is an interview, it'd be next week. The Bills will likely have a short week next week. I mean, I don't know the whole scheduling, what's going to happen, but both other AFC teams play on Saturday. So the Chargers and the Ravens play Saturday. Mm-hmm. The Bills are the only AFC team to play Sunday. And the NFC has a game on Monday night. My guess is the Monday night game, that team plays on Sunday for sure.
Yep.
Leaving for one AFC spot that could be the Chiefs on Sunday. It could also, of course, be the Bills, like Bills-Ravens. But it might depend on opponent, might depend on a couple of things. My guess is, well, first off, we know the Bills will have one day less of rest than Baltimore will, no matter when they play.
I want to see what they did last year, because wouldn't it, and I know this is not how the NFL operates necessarily. They factor it in, but wouldn't it be most fair that the two teams that are coming off byes be the teams that play on Saturday?
I don't know that that is how it works.
Because shouldn't it be how it works, though?
No.
Those teams...
No, it can't be, because the Vikings and Rams play Monday night.
Yeah.
They have to play on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. You can't do that. You're right. You could, but you would have had to do it. You would have to finagle things beforehand. That hasn't been done. So yeah, okay, that's right.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bills and Broncos.
They've played Denver one time in the playoffs in their history, the 91 AFC Championship game, and that is it. And was going through some of their last playoff game yesterday, the Super Bowl 50. Do you know how many yards that the Denver Broncos had in Super Bowl 50 against the Carolina Panthers?
A team that they beat, where Vaughn was the MVP.
Vaughn was the MVP. You had a defensive MVP that won the Super Bowl.
190 yards?
The exact number. They won the game 24-10. And a broken Peyton Manning led them to 194 yards of total offense.
Wow.
They won the Super Bowl with 194 yards of total offense in that game. And they've not been back to the playoffs since. Leading them in receiving that day?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, we already mentioned him on the show. 6 for 83.
Yeah.
Out of the 141 that they passed it. So their franchise has kind of been stuck in irrelevancy for
absolutely
8 years. Like,
totally stuck.
It's kind of surprising they haven't got more criticism league-wide. I guess they're not really as big a brand as you think, because they have missed on quarterback after quarterback, and most of it was John Elway that was missing on quarterback after quarterback. Like, oh, let me try Brock Osweiler, and now didn't they give Case Keenum and Joe Flacco big contracts along the way?
Maybe.
They at least started them.
I mean, they went for the Russell Wilson shot.
They've
swung kind of big.
Yeah.
And
they drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round and never played him.
Of course, their biggest mistake was passing over Josh Allen for Bradley Chubb.
Yes.
And John Elway, the story goes, I wonder if Allen will talk about this week. Like, he could have been a Denver Bronco. He played in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed to have liked him and then said, no thanks, we're going to take the pass rusher.
Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. Bradley Chubb was a nice player when he was in Denver. He's battled injuries since. Like, it's not gone well in Miami just because of injuries. But it is kind of wild. When you look back at that draft, the Allen, Darnold, I mean, four of these guys are in the playoffs. Four of the five first-rounders. Rosen's not. Everybody else is.
Yeah.
I recently saw Josh Rosen's LinkedIn page, by the way. Somebody sent that along. Like, he's still probably...
Wow.
Yeah, he's probably doing fine. He's successful, just not at being a quarterback. But if you think back to that draft class, maybe the most stunning thing of all is the number of teams that needed a quarterback and thought, nah. Like, the Giants are hilarious here. The Giants, who, of course, took Saquon Barkley with Dave Gettleman. I saw a quote today from the Giants over, "We'll never tank, I'll fire a coach that did." Oh, congratulations. If you got to the top, you'd take a running back anyway. You know?
Right.
You took Saquon Barkley.
They did do that.
They took Saquon Barkley. What if they take Josh Allen, who knows if, you know, the development goes the same way.
Yep.
Darnold and Mayfield, we've seen that, you know, your first landing spot might not fully define who you are. But that draft class, what a glow up. What a moment for that draft class in this postseason. And going back to that time, it's funny because people, whatever, misremember. I'm using a, I've never liked that word. But people remembering the Allen draft and how they felt about it and how it went. It's another one of these things that kind of gets a mind of its own, a story of its own. Because Mayfield going first happened late in the game. There was not we didn't know who was going to go first like 2 weeks into the draft before the draft.
Did we know the day of even? Maybe the day and the day before we started.
I feel like
it was Mayfield. But
the day of, there was some reporting that Josh Allen might go first to the Browns. And you had some analysts that liked Allen and some that didn't, which of course is not that unusual. That happens in the draft. Allen was thought to be very raw. Big power arm. And there have been plenty of cautionary tales about guys drafted because of their raw skills that did not turn into much.
I wonder, actually.
There's a lot of those.
The name I just mentioned, the Broncos drafted Paxton Lynch, a quarterback that was 6'7", 250, out of Memphis in the first round 2 years before that draft. And I believe he was still on that roster. And he was probably horrible in practice because he started four games in his career. And maybe that even influences them. Like, hey, we just did this. We just drafted the really big, really tall guy that flamed out on the tools, and it didn't work. So maybe that influences it. I mean, that draft, I mean, there was a documentary in the 83 NFL draft. How long do I have to go for the 2018 documentary? The draft, the documentary on that, the 30 for 30.
Should be soon.
There was a report I remember from, it was Florio, so maybe take it with a grain of salt, that the Seahawks offered Cleveland Russell Wilson for the first overall pick because Pete Carroll wanted Josh Allen. He offered his Super Bowl winning, allegedly, he offered his Super Bowl winning quarterback to the Browns because Pete Carroll wanted Josh Allen to be a Seahawk. So if Gettleman's not the Giants GM, maybe they do something different. There's so many things that could have gone their way.
Yeah,
it's a miracle, and it's also not like it's dumb luck though that they got to Allen when they were a team that was in the postseason.
Well, right,
that they came from 22
to go get him,
and they needed things to fall their way, but it happened.
Yeah, I mean, what Bean did that day. First off, like
you needed the Broncos.
You needed a lot of things to happen.
You needed the Broncos to do what they did.
What Bean did that day is maybe not quite on the level of when Brian Burke traded up all the way to get a pair of twins at 2 and 3.
Right.
Because that was a lot of work. But yeah, in the draft, you do the best you can, and you do need help. I mean, anytime that the point is made about like the Diggs Jefferson trade, how Minnesota did so great getting Jefferson, they needed 20 teams to pass on him. And that did happen.
And isn't there a video of them celebrating when the Eagles took a different receiver right before him?
Jalen Reagor, yeah. Yeah. And with Allen here, where the Bills, you know, they moved up and they were trying to move up again and again and again, and they ultimately get there and get their guy. And of course, it's gone incredibly since. And here's Denver. Like, I feel for Denver, why wouldn't you be super excited about Bo Nix? I mean, if you look at Allen's rookie year and Bo Nix's rookie year, again, this doesn't mean in any way Bo Nix is going to be anywhere near Josh Allen's ceiling or capabilities. But Bo Nix having 29 touchdowns and 3,700 yards and a playoff appearance, ending your own 9-year drought, you're a Broncos fan, life is good again. We would have been over the moon for something like that. We were over the moon when a journeyman quarterback, kind of journeyman, Tyrod, ended the drought. And then Allen's first year was promising. In year two, they're in the playoffs, and, you know, the rest is history. 803-0550, our phone number. Confidence level against Denver. Come on, Bills fans. It's the playoffs. Is it lock it in? What makes you feel great about it? Of course, Allen's an easy answer here. What makes you a little bit nervous about it? We'll talk with Howard at 8, Benjamin Albright 9:30. Tomorrow, of course, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. And we'll track the Bills through practice this week with Sal a little bit later as well. So you can join us if you'd like. Are you feeling good about it? I am. Maybe this is just my nature. I'm a little more nervous than probably most. I think the matchup is legit. I think it could be a real sweat. That said, last time we felt like that in the opening round, they won by like 30. You know, they usually do just fine in the opening round.
And then the time we thought it wasn't going to be a sweat, they only won by 3.
Yeah, that's right. The Dolphins, yeah. That's right. Okay. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, good morning. Instant trivia time.
Love that music. Let's go.
So this is a trivia question we've had before, but it's timely. And I want people to be able to take it with them to work, to school, to wherever today.
Okay.
Are you brushed up on your sequence of touchdowns from the perfect game?
Oh.
Let's make sure everybody is. The Bills beat the Patriots 47-17 in this upcoming round of the playoffs. Was okay. One of the greatest days in franchise history. Definitely for the new generation of fans or the younger generation of fans. So, I want you to think about it. Josh, Joe, who can do it without getting anybody out of order?
Okay. I think I can. Maybe. So it's 40. So I almost need the number of touchdowns.
There are seven touchdowns in this game. The Bills missed a pair of extra points.
Right. All right. Knox.
Correct.
Knox again?
No.
Is this a team effort or are we going solo? What are we doing here?
I'm just throwing out suggestions.
I'm not looking for suggestions.
I'm throwing thoughts from the peanut gallery. This is Joe's.
Should we go? You want to go every other?
I can't do
that. No, I'll take my guess. And then you tell me, and then Josh can guess a different sequence if he wants. I'm going to go Knox, Singletary.
Already wrong. Already wrong.
All right. What am I missing in there? What do you got, Josh? Nothing?
I was confident in Singletary, but
I didn't say that sequence was wrong. It just didn't come after one Dawson Knox touchdown. You guys literally put out a guess that you just need to repeat.
Knox,
and you,
Knox.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Knox. I was waiting for him because I didn't want to steal his guess.
I felt good about it,
guess.
But then I wasn't sure. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard because like there was
Knox,
so many.
Knox, Singletary,
yep.
Sanders.
Yep.
Davis. Doyle.
Yes. There it is.
So I just missed the second Knox one.
The easiest way to remember it is that you...
What is the second Knox?
You never alternate letters. It's KSD. Knox, Singletary,
oh, yeah.
Sanders,
right.
Davis, Doyle.
KSD.
That's the best way to remember that. The perfect game, 7 touchdowns.
What is the other Knox touchdown? He has the one that Allen thought he was throwing away, right,
yep.
In the corner, and then...
So the first one looked like a throwaway. Touchdown. The second one, after the Micah Hyde interception, is just a much easier, right over the middle. Just,
okay.
Just a Dawson Knox available for you. Touchdown.
I'll have to watch those highlights later then. If I don't remember one of those touchdowns, because that game needs to be in my brain.
I'm at NFL.com with some highlights here, and it is funny the occasional, sack, star Latulale. Okay. Diggs with a 45-yard catch on a big bomb that Allen threw in this game. He pumped and threw back the other way, and this is it's a nice play.
Feels like that was everybody eats.
Honestly,
game.
You know what? I know it's funny. I'm almost like nervous to look this up.
What?
What yard line was the throw and drop in the Chiefs game? Because like the throw to Diggs in this Patriots game is just almost the same.
It's the exact same.
Allen throws it from their own 30. It's a 45-yard completion down the near sideline, and Diggs catches it, and he's down at like the 20. It's almost the same play.
Yeah.
Anyway, the perfect game. What a night. It was cold.
0 degrees, less than that even.
-8, maybe. It was cold. Great day.
And just as the New England fans and media were embracing what was happening to them, made it so much sweeter.
Yep. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is WGR. Jeremy and Joe with you. Give us a ring if you'd like. We'll check in with Howard coming up 8 o'clock on Howard Picks the Bills. Paul 7:30 to recap last night's shootout win over Washington.